usually on a Sunday evening, it is the Industry Insider segment here. Today is no different, but it is the whole media industry that we see in 2017 that we're going to try to examine in 7 minutes. Now, the fake news story has been evolving rapidly, particularly since President Donald J. Trump called out CNN and others for being fake news. Now, to talk about this and to try to get to the bottom of what fake news really might be, joining us from London is Jamie Angus, Editorial Director of BBC Global News. Jamie, it's good to have you on.
Hi, good to be with you.
So look, let's start with the difference between fake news, post-truths and alt-facts. How can you define all of those three, Jamie?
Well, look, there's a bit of a tendency to say, oh, well, you know, one man's fake news is another man's truth. But, you know, we don't believe in that at all. At the BBC, we're very concerned about the effect that fake news is having both on kind of stable democracies around the world, but also on the news consumption environment, because we're worried that people are, you know, being encouraged no longer to distinguish between journalism that has real values and skills underpinning it and stuff that people have made up for reasons of economic interest or maybe for malign political reasons. So there's lots of different types of fake news. I think it's important to be clear which ones we're talking about. You know, a lot of people are actually just churning out fake news for economic reasons. So they're, in a sense, doing an ad fraud. They're just manufacturing things that appear to be news websites in order to harvest ad clicks for ad revenue. And then there are people who are running effectively political sites, sort of political comment sites, and sometimes there's an attack on what they call the mainstream media. They say, well, this is the real news, you won't get the real news from other providers. But I think the most pernicious kind is the one that governments all around the world are worried is kind of state actors, so states organising themselves to sponsor fake news in order to destabilise particular regions or conflicts, and that's certainly one of the ones that's come up internationally the most, I think.
Jamie, we live in an instant news world now. You know, most of us, we get our news from social media, so we're often just seeing headlines. We're scrolling through, we're seeing headlines. It's a very quick kind of experience, and oftentimes we're not taking the time to really think about what it is that we're reading. And so you guys at BBC News, you've developed actually a consumer fact-checking service. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, so we've got a reality check strand, which we're running mainly online, but also on the BBC World News TV channel, but you can also find it at bbc.com/news. And reality check is really our response to audiences telling us that they wanted the BBC to be a bit more aggressive in kind of calling out particular not things that are being paraded as facts, but that are actually wrong. So in successive elections, not just in the UK, but also elections and stories around the world, the audience have been telling us that it's not enough just to say as journalists, well, you know, one campaign says this, the other side says that, you know, who's to know, which is telling the truth, time will tell. Instead, they want organisations like the BBC to just be much clearer about when one side is using a set of statistics that are just flat out wrong, to kind of call that out a bit more aggressively. And so that's what Reality Check does, because we believe that there are, you know, there are facts out there. It's not just an infinitely contestable world of your facts versus my facts. We believe in sets of facts, not alternative facts. And in Reality Check Online, you can see us working through some of that, not just on domestic UK stories, actually, but of course also on the biggest international news stories as well.
Jamie, it's a really odd thing, but when something is online and it is published online, it gains credence for whatever reason. Just as when newspapers are published, a story has credence because it has been published and written down. It seems to have always been the case, and I'm wondering why it's so prevalent now in this kind of fake news environment. We always, I feel, believe what we want to believe rather than what's true. So how is it any different these days?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, fake news, in a sense, has always been with us. It's not a new invention as such, but the digital distribution of news, so the digital world that we're all living in, and the fact that many people are consuming most of their news online now has really changed the game, I think. So remember that digital means that the barriers of entry to the news industry are incredibly low. So anyone can publish anything, and with a bit of jiggery-pokery. They can make sure that it's very widely distributed. And they can also easily give it the appearance of news. And, you know, sometimes we worry about attribution. You know, we worry that our own news doesn't really appear. You know, when it's distributed online by other partners in your social news feed, people often read news and they don't quite realise who it's come from. So sometimes they'll see that it's BBC News and they think, OK, good, we understand there are values, the good values and reliable values that underpin that. But often people don't really discriminate between news from one provider and another provider online. And that can be a problem for organisations like ours. So that's why we're encouraging people to think more in terms of media literacy about where has this news come from? Has it come from a brand you trust, a brand like BBC News, which is the most trusted international news brand? And if not, you know, we found in our surveys that people often like to check out news they've seen online with a trusted news provider. So they'll see something typically in their news feed, and then they might go to another brand like the BBC to just check out whether it's actually true or not. So we think that's a really helpful way of engaging with the world of news.
Something I want to get your opinion on, Jamie, is, you know, how much fake news already influences political decision-making. How much should we really be worried about it?
I think every, you know, you often find it coming up in hotly disputed election campaigns. So it's interesting, it's not just a North American phenomenon. You know, I've been travelling a lot in the region, also elsewhere in Asia this year. So, for example, I was in Singapore a bit earlier in the year where they were thinking about passing a law to discourage fake news. And it had come up in that region in the context of a really hotly disputed mayoral election in Jakarta in Indonesia, where fake news was being used as a tool to discredit one of the candidates. So we see you know, we see all around the world this is a phenomenon. It's not just something that's happening in North America. It's just not just an argument between President Trump and some of his domestic news providers. And it often comes to a head during elections, or it can come to a head during kind of other wider political tensions in a region, or intercommunal tensions. And that's why it's pernicious and dangerous. It's not just a sort of feature of modern life that we should accept. We have to realize that it has a destabilizing effect. It needs to be called out. And that, you know, large trusted news providers who invest a lot in gathering journalism on the ground and testing that, you know, against a series of values that we've held for nearly 100 years now, those are things that are really, really important in consuming the news and choosing what brand you consume it with.
And those values are key, aren't they? It's not that journalism isn't necessary anymore. It's more necessary. But we are surrounded by very attractive, all singing, all dancing, video-enhanced websites. We're surrounded by clickbait. We've all done it. We've all gone to a site and been disappointed with a nonsense story that seemed to be everything. But are you confident going forward, Jamie, that quality media can still reach an audience and have a discernible effect for good?
Yes, I think so. I mean, you know, the number of people, for example, I mentioned the BBC World News Channel, which is our TV channel, that's now reaching 99 million people a week around the world, and our audiences are going up. So we think there's an appetite there for quality, but we're not complacent about it. You know, we understand that we always have to innovate the way that we tell the news, our storytelling, our editorial selection. We have to have a wider selection of topics that people want to engage with. We also have to present it in really innovative ways. So we're doing a lot of work on things like vertical video, so you can watch video on your phone. It's got subtitles. You might want to watch the BBC News inside Snapchat, or you might want to consume it on Facebook. You know, we have to make sure that we put our news in a really appealing fashion in all of these big platforms, so that people have always got the choice of where to consume it and what it looks like, and that it's appealing to them when they find it.
I wonder what Lord Reith would have thought of BBC News on Snapchat. That has kind of occurred to me.
Who knows?
That's a whole different story. Jamie Angus is Editorial Director at BBC Global News. Jamie, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for spending time with us today.
No problem. Nice to talk to you both. Cheers. Bye-bye.